sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, you may receive, they may receive you into eternal wealth. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you the true riches? If you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things and they ridiculed. He said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. What is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. This is the gospel of the Lord. From. Says, good for you, right? Good on you, right? This is who is like God? No one, the answer is. Not one. You know, because here's the thing that our selfish, retribution-seeking minds just can't grasp. God wants to give away his kingdom. Right? God wants to give us his kingdom. But we can't grasp that because we don't understand it in ourselves. That's not what we're like. We don't want to give away our kingdom. I mean, think about the home you live in. Right? You have worked on your home. You've put a lot of money into it. You've got a lot of equity in it. Now, would you want to give all of that to the person that you passed on the road begging money of you this past week when you went to work? I'm going to go ahead and say no, you wouldn't. At least most of you wouldn't. I wouldn't either. However it was, the master's steward was wasting this rich man's property. It was rectified when the rich man's debtors and his debts were forgiven. Not when those debts were collected. That is important. Because here's the point that Jesus is making. God wants to give away all of his goods. And he wants to give them away to the very people who sought to steal them by violence. He wants to give everything that he has exactly to those people. He wants, as sons and daughters, the very people who murdered his beloved son. He wants to bestow the kingdom on rebels who are guilty of treason, thieves guilty of stealing, and violent men guilty of murder. And we are not worthy of it. Not in the least are we worthy of it. But it is the master's good pleasure to give away his goods, his kingdom, as he sees fit. And when he sees fit. Our Lord interprets the parable for us here when he says, I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal well. Now, I know this seems a bit strange and cryptic and confusing upon the first reading, but it's the point of the whole parable. And it's the key to understanding. Because who is it that can receive anyone into an eternal well? Who's the only one that can do that? God, right? He's the only one. The dishonest thieving manager was stealing money. And he was doing it so that he could make friends and be received into their homes when things go bad. So Jesus says, you should make a friend of God for yourself with unrighteous wealth. Now, how about that? But what unrighteous wealth can you use with God? It's a valid question. Why would we want to? What is this unrighteous wealth that we can present to God? Well, in a sense, only stolen money, right? Only wealth that belongs to another, right? Wealth that is not yours by right. You cannot earn it. It never belonged to you by right. And so, it's stolen, it's unrighteous. It's unjust, you might say. It's not yours. You can't buy it, and you can't earn it. And we walk by the tree of the Holy Cross, and from that tree of life, we pluck its ripened fruit, and we take it for ourselves. And the thing is, God wants us to do that. God longs for us to do that, to give us this life. Right? This is the shocking character of grace, that God actually wants us to do these things. God wants to give away his goods to the very people who sought to steal them. Right? He wants his sons and daughters, the very people who killed his son. It makes no sense to us. Right? We don't understand the sense of righteousness and justice. Right? We don't Son in order to have you as his own. He declares the guilty to be innocent and accepts payment from the Son for your debt. And then he goes so far as to look at you as if you were never even guilty and gives you more than you ever tried to steal from him in the first place. Right? He adds wine and milk and honey to the fruit that we've already taken from the cross and from the garden. Right? Because it's not write down 80, even though you owe 100. Right? It's not even write down 0. It's not even you don't owe anything. With the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, he takes the pad and he writes down for you a credit. Where you're not just less in debt or even settled up. In his Son Jesus, he rewards your thievery. He gives you more than you could have ever stolen from him. He pays more than justice demands. And because he does that, my brothers and sisters, your cup overflows. That is the unrighteous, unjust wealth that makes God a friend of sinners. It's the blood of Jesus Christ from the cross and in the chalice that God even commands that we drink deeply from. And in it we have more than we will ever need in this life, even into eternity. It's what welcomes sinners into the eternal dwelling. It's the only thing that welcomes sinners into God's house, as God's own friend in this creation of things. And our Lord also says that we are to be faithful with this unjust, unrighteous wealth. What does that mean? That means that you cling to it. Right? You never throw it away. You cling to it as your only salvation. Honored above all else in heaven or on earth in this life. Be faithful to what Christ showers upon us, unworthy debtors. That is to love. That is to love the gospel of Jesus. And it's to keep on taking. Right? Because the blood of Jesus, his incarnation, his life, death, and resurrection, his innocent substitutionary suffering. That is the currency, that is the only currency of the kingdom of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just given to us free. It's just thrown to us in abundance.